Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Vlad Harris, another Panther Rants podcast. It's Tuesday. We're heading back to work. Or some of you may have already been there already. Who knows? I mean, I just got done dropping my kids off at school, and you know, it was the first time I did the kid drop off thing, and you know, I'll give you know, my kids' school some props. They they've done a really good job with addressing the whole traffic and things with the kids' drop off, because dropping off your kids, you know, can be a stressful thing sometimes because of how, for one thing, you have, you know, when you drive on the street, you got two lanes. You got the school lane and the regular lane. And people around this time of the year get confused. They drive in the school lane, and then and at the last minute, they realize they're about to go pull in the school. So they try to get over rather than just drive through the school lane and just be done with it. They cause more commotion. But, you know, the school's done a good job with that. But then pulling in the school has been a challenge as well because, well, you got parents who don't want to really wade through that line, so they try to find ways to drop off their kids in some pretty creative and dangerous ways. And then, of course, you got those parents that want to hug on their kids for 5 minutes while everybody's waiting to drop the rest of their kids off. You got that. And you got some kids who, you know, are, you know, have that transition to, you know, from, you know, what school they were at to an actual school where, you know, you have to actually walk in and you're pretty much doing, you know, big kid stuff. And some of them latch on their moms and dads screaming and crying, and schools have to pull the kids off them with the jaws of life. So, you know, there you go. Anyways, guys, it was a wacky weekend of college football, somewhat. I took a big loss last night. As I said, I preached about Florida State, you know, this being a trap game, and Virginia Tech just beat the crap out of them. So, I'll gladly take the loss on that one because I was wrong, and, you know, that's why, you know, I don't get paid to do this stuff, because I'm not really good at it, and for one, I'm not really good at it, and second of all, I don't really command a demanding audience. I mean, I love my audience, but, you know, I'm just saying, I'm not really, I'm small, but I'm small potatoes. Maybe more, lots smaller. But they lost, and pretty much people, you know, I'm sitting there laying down watching this. I'm thinking to myself, well, Clemson and Virginia Tech is going to be an exciting championship game for the ACC. But it's a long season. Clemson, obviously, is going to probably run the table of their division. They got A&M next week. This week coming up, actually. Tech, on the other hand, has to play in a coastal. And here's the thing. Our division's one big brawl. So I'm not convinced Tech's going to run the table in our conference yet. They're going to get beat up by one or two of us. Second grab in the Atlantic Division is pretty much up for grabs now. It's anyone can have that. Anyone can have second place in the, you know, Atlantic if they want. But Coastal's another mystery right now. We'll see. We'll find out more this week. You know, a lot of people were saying it was going to be Clemson, Miami. We all thought that. I wasn't buying Miami, you know, being LSU And I said Miami is only going to be as good as their quarterback play is. Because I can't really figure out a time they've had an actual decent quarterback. Yeah, they had Ken Dorsey. I mean, he was pretty good. And you know, obviously he spent some time in the pros. He didn't start. I mean, he wasn't great. And I think what he should have did was after his junior year when he won the national title is he probably should have declared for the draft, because I think he'd have made a whole bunch of money then. Even if he was a bust, he could have, you know, made a lot of money. But that didn't work out for him. You know, Rozier obviously is a mobile quarterback and is a dual threat, but the thing about dual threat quarterbacks, if they're not accurate, if you can keep them in the pocket, have them make the reads and try to, you know, make throws, they're usually going to have a bad time. And that's what happened, really. And that's the thing with Pat White, if you remember, guys, in West Virginia. Pat White was very effective when he was on the move. If you kept Pat White in the pocket, Pat White was useless. You know, if he couldn't scramble, he couldn't make the throws he wanted to make. And he pretty much, you know, the last time we played them at Hines, he pretty much cost West Virginia that game, because he made some really bad throws. And in the end, we made him pay. So, Pitt obviously finished up their game. They beat Albany. They came out. They kicked ass. And pretty much kept the ship a-sailing for most of the second half, and walked out of there. You know, Kenny Pickett did pretty well. The backs did well. So, we won't know much about Pitt until, you know, this week. Same with the Coastal Division as well. Well, it depends on how this game goes. You know, if Pitt beats Penn State, do we consider Pitt a serious contender for the Coastal? Do we actually take Pitt serious this time and say, hey, you know what? They may challenge for this division this year. I think we'll know a lot after this game. But of course, Pitt has a tough schedule. They got Central Florida as well coming up, so. And I believe they have, Notre Dame, yeah? Although Notre Dame's not really a division game, but still, regardless of what Pitt, you know, the important thing is this Pitt's conference record. But here, this game, we can figure out, you know, what this team's stock is. Because Penn State struggled against Appalachian State this past weekend. You know, it was funny because I watched, I think I flipped on the last 5 minutes of the game, and it was cool to watch Appalachian State take the 30-31 lead, but I had this feel, you know, but there was too much time on the clock. There was 1:47 left, and you can't give Trace McSorley that much time. I mean, McSorley's obviously going to be in the pros, and he makes some really good throws. He's a good quarterback. He can run. He can sit in the pocket and make throws, and he knows where to place the ball as well. I used to think he was just some guy who threw the ball up and hope guys would catch it. And I don't know, his game is pretty much picked up. Maybe it's him. Maybe it's part of the scheme itself. Who knows? You know, we'll know more coming up. But once I saw that Penn State was hesitant to return that kickoff and they run it all the way back to the 50, I figured that the game was pretty much going to go into overtime then, because McSorley obviously did his thing. They got the overtime and they eventually won. That's the thing with Penn State is it's something with them always where they can look like shit for 60 minutes but still come out smelling like a rose. It's amazing. I mean, they're that person at work that you hate, that they suck at their job. You finally get to fire them, and then they win the $500 million Powerball. That's pretty much Penn State in a nutshell. Well, Penn State has to face Pickett this week. Pickett's kind of a similar quarterback as Appalachian State's. Both are mobile. Pickett can beat you with his arms and his feet. Pitt's also got a really solid ground game as well. So I'm sure Penn State's going to dial up a lot of blitzes and things like that to make us throw. And we got the guys who can get in the space and get open. Defensively, it's another story. Obviously, I've read that Pitt was betting on breaking on certain times. And obviously, they had their work cut out for them because they got to deal with McSorley. Penn State's got two really good running backs in Slade and Williams. Not Williams. Miles Sanders, I'm sorry. And Miles, obviously, I'm not crazy about Whitfield kids. I don't think there's really been a running back out of the Whitfield who's really made much of an impact in college football in years, maybe decades. And Miles Sanders, obviously, looks like he's that guy who's finally going to break that. And Pitt recruited the hell out of him back in the day. And obviously, there's a reason why Pitt recruited the hell out of him. He obviously looked really good. So, we'll see what happens there. That being said, Willie Taggart, I mean, people harped on him, I guess, about his play calling and stuff. And Willie did really well at South Florida, not South Florida. He was Oregon when he left. He bounced a bunch of places. I wouldn't be too hard on him yet. It's still early. Michigan, obviously, lost to Notre Dame, 24-17. And Jim Harbaugh, he keeps his fertility going as he lost another big game. This was a conference game, but still, it's Notre Dame. Michigan, Notre Dame. He just couldn't do it. But, obviously he's got a lot to deal with. I mean, he's breaking the quarterback and he's had so much going on with his staff and players. But still, Michigan, obviously, their fan base is not very patient. And I know he's a Michigan man himself. So, they're going to probably give him as much leeway as possible, as much time, because he is a Michigan guy. I mean, for God's sakes, we gave Dave once that. Lord knows how many years, because he had to build the program. And by the time he built it, we ended up firing him. Because, we had two really good years, and last year was a thud, and of course, we had a whole bunch of off-season stuff come out, and he didn't like him and the athletic director didn't like each other. But there's a lot to go through there. Washington lost a big game to Auburn. It was a close one. Like I said, I didn't see Washington go all the way down there winning that game. I think if they would have, they would be more seriously, but it's a long season for them. I mean, we got like 11 of these games to go. So, they could still win their division, win their conference, and hope, figure out the whole college football playoff picture, how that's going to go. Because Bama's obviously is going to roll through their league like they always do. Not sure about LSU, though, because, LSU, they play a bad Miami team, so who knows. Who knows? Maybe LSU's offense is going to pick up, and maybe this was all Matt Canada. But speaking of Matt Canada, he went in his coaching debut, he beats Texas at home. And that's, you know, that puts a lot of heat on Tom Herman because Herman had a lot of success in Houston. Now all of a sudden he goes to Texas, and well, he's in his second year obviously, and they're expecting big things out of him, and he got him to a bowl game last year. But I think Texas fans are just going to they're going to be more patient, and I'm sure the media is going to jump all over this because they've got rid of Charlie Strong. But Charlie obviously, you know, they are mediocre under Charlie, and then when you lose to Kansas, that's pretty much the end of your tenure. I mean, they gave Charlie, you know, Charlie could have had, they could have given Charlie more time, but they weren't patient enough with him. Tom Herman, they'll give him more time because he's a Texas guy. He's a Mack Brown protege, so he'll get everything he wants. But there wasn't many crazy upsets that we like to see. It was pretty much just your standard first weekend of college football, and we got plenty more to go, plenty more adventures to look at. But there's one more thing. West Virginia beat the crap out of Tennessee. I thought the game would be close, but I don't know. You know, the way the Big 12 is looking, West Virginia could make a serious push to win that conference. And if we're being honest with ourselves, if there's any time for them to win that conference, it's probably this year. But they got to deal with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State yet. So I think the Texas teams aren't that much of a worry. Maybe TCU is going to give them trouble, but those Oklahoma teams, they're tough. So they're going to have that to deal with. But we'll wrap that part up of college football, and we'll talk more later this weekend because, you know, we got some games coming up. Let's see if we go through some other things here. Levy and Bella didn't report to camp or to practice or whatever, so obviously he's going to take a hit until he gets his contract, or he's just going to keep taking hits until he has to come back. I mean, I saw this last year with Dwayne Brown in Houston. He wanted a bigger deal, and the thing is, he was in the second year of the deal he just signed, and Texas weren't going to give him any more than what they gave him. They're like, dude, you're in a second year of your deal. We're not giving you any more money. So Brown decided to sit out, and up till the eighth game, I think that's when he had to re-sign. I forget, there was some sort of rule with that. So Levy and Bella has till then to sign his deal. And obviously the Pittsburgh media loves this because when you have so-called toxicity in your locker room, it's a lot of drama. But you know, for James Conner, this is a audition for him, where he can show people what he really has in terms of the NFL life. Because for Pitt fans, he has nothing else to prove to us at all. Not a zip zilch. But now he has to show the NFL people that he can play in this league. Because I really didn't see him, you know, having the career that Shady has. I don't think he will, but I think he can have some productive years in the league. And speaking of that, Nate Pearman has been named the starting quarterback for Buffalo. And, of course, you know, I was reading some of the, I was searching Peterman's name, and of course, social media went nuts over this. Because people can't get over that game made Peterman had where he threw 5 picks in his first game. But if you watch Peterman in preseason, he's much different from what he was. From when he, from that game. He has a lot more confidence. He throws a lot more confidence. He gets the ball out quicker. He makes his reads. Makes better decisions. You know, he looks a lot different. And I know starting Josh Allen is the sexy thing to do, and that's what I thought Buffalo would do. And people are saying, well, this is like Tom Savage and Deshaun Watson, where eventually, you know, Deshaun took over. I don't think that's going to happen in this case. I have a feeling Nate's going to take this job by the balls, and he's going to, you know, put his mark on it. I don't think this is going to be a thing where with Tom Savage. And I don't know what happened with Tom Savage. Saints released him because they wanted him. They tried him out. They sent him for $1 million, and really they were trying to see, you know, what he had, if he would be a suitable backup for Drew Brees. And they ended up training for Teddy Bridgewater, and that was it. Savage did have a decent preseason statistic wise, but he's not very mobile, and there's not much else to him right now. And I think he'll still get a job in this league. But the thing is, I don't know if he really wants a job. I mean, he's got a family, and if you follow the guy on Twitter, he does a lot of woodworking and all kind of stuff. And he may just say the hell with it, be done with it. I think he enjoys his life in Houston as well. Because that's where he was. That's where he's been, and you know, I think his wife and kid are still there as well. And I think they did buy a house, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So who knows? But you know, obviously there's a market for backup still. I mean, Landry Jones is out there as well. You know, speaking of Houston, Jester Weah got signed to the practice squad, and they really like Jester Weah. It just, he needs some work, but they love his potential, and I hope he figures it out, because you know, I think he had a lot of pro potential. It just, a lot of the stuff he did was self-inflicted on himself. But we'll see what happens with all that. Finally, there's obviously social media, obviously, is blown up over Kaepernick and Nike. And, you know, people are burning their uniform, burning their stuff, and boycotting and whatever. I mean, let's keep a mind off a lot of stuff. Well, for one thing, Nike's veteran owned. Phil Knight, you know, he served time in the Army. Year of active duty, 7, and you know, was a reserve. So you have that. A veteran himself plastering, you know, Kaepernick on his ads. And of course, on the flip side of it, I'm not sure if what Nike has donated, you know, campaign wise, because the reason why I bring this up is because people got all freaking out of shape because In-N-Out donated $25,000 to some Republican thing. Businesses do that crap all the time. They donate to both sides. So I'm not sure what Nike donated. I'm really, this whole Kaepernick ad thing, same thing. It's nothing really to get fired up over. Although it is funny to watch these people get all pissed off and want to burn their Nike stuff that they already paid for, or cut stuff up, because their money's already gone to Nike, and they're burning it. And you know, one person brought up, they don't like the fact that race was brought into this, and they feel it should be more about whether Kaepernick's a good QB or not. And there's a point there. Kaepernick, if anything, would be a backup in this league. It's just, I think what ultimately what was the downfall is he could probably, he was good enough to land a backup job at just the media circus around him. Not so much on the left or from ESPN, the right as well, because both of these sides were using him for their page clicks and hits and what not else. Ratings. And if NFL teams see that, if it's something they don't want to deal with, they're not going to deal with it. But of course, he has that collusion case yet, and that's, you know, still going, that's still on, and maybe more from that collusion case will tell us more of a story of what's going on here, why he's not being signed. I mean, I think if NFL was so hard up about this, or at least the owners, at least one team could have bitten the bullet and signed him, and they would have ended all this kneeling, all this discussion. They would have ended it all, because Kaepernick even said himself he was going to stop kneeling that next season. So I think if somebody would at least would have signed him, you probably eliminate the kneeling and what else. But it's still a mess, and eventually all these guys are going to have to get together and just talk about this. But till then, we gotta go through all of it. Anyways, guys, I'm gonna let you guys have the rest of your day back. Thanks for listening. Hail to Pitt. I'll talk to you guys here Thursday or Friday.